Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
Gratitude is everything. When we're a believer, when we're born again and we have salvation in our life, the first step, the first thing that we did, we were grateful. Right? When we accepted Jesus in our heart for what he did on the cross for us, the very first thing we did, we had a thankful heart. First, we believed by faith. It was by faith. But we got hit with gratitude. Amen? I don't know about you, but that was key. Being grateful that, like, okay, I'm believing that this God has died on the cross for my sin. This is because of him, my life is about to change and my future will never be the same. I remember, and I know for you guys, there's a posture, whether you're fully aware, you're grateful. When you have an encounter with God, you are grateful, weren't you? Right? So that's the first step. That's what opened up the kingdom for us. The kingdom was opened for us by faith, but with gratitude. Gratitude opened up the kingdom. And God has done so many things, so many of our lives. Because of that, we are new. We're born again. We live in a new kingdom. When we are believers, we're not under the pressures and the oppression of this world. We're under it, but we're not part of it. God has opened up a kingdom, a world that is so upside down in the way of thinking and living than it is in this world. Amen? I don't know about you, but my life before Christ and my life after Christ, it is night and day. It's so different. You can't even compare. You can't compare. I get to live and experience things I would have only dreamed and imagined. And that's because it was from a mindset of Christ. It was operating out of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world where everything is so limited. There's such a limit in this world. In this natural world, there's limits everywhere. But with God, there's no limits. There is no limit in God. And you could ask my kids. Sometimes my kids, Sean and I are both very honest. We're alive before Christ. And our kids are like, I can't believe you did that. Like, I can't believe, like, mommy, like, you're bad. Like I'm telling you, like, there's things that they cannot comprehend because they can't even think or imagine that we would have ever done that. It's so part of a different life than us. You know, Sean and I will, I'll say, like, Sean, if I would have met you as a non-believer, I don't think I would have wanted that. Right? Just because of some of the stuff that he was in, God has done such a transformation in his life. That he became a man of God like I could have only think and dream imagine. Right? Amen? And so I know that God has been doing a lot of things in all of your life. And I hear it all the time. And I'm very thankful. And it's always so encouraging. It's what has boosted and encouraged Sean and I to keep going. It's hearing from you guys. It's hearing the testimony. And seeing what God is doing in this house. I know you guys all have stories. And I would have loved to hear from all of you guys this morning. But we're only going to hear from a few. We're going to hear from four people this morning. I want to slow it down. And I want to just let some people share what being part of this house have done for them. Because you're part of that. Every testimony that you know, just so you know, every testimony that comes and is birthed out of this house, you have an impact. If you sow a seed in this house, we wouldn't have this if it wasn't for you. If you've ever prayed for anybody, you've had an impact. If you ever smile at somebody and had a conversation, a positive, encouraging conversation with somebody, you've had an impact. Because I've heard a lot of testimonies, encouraging testimonies of people feeling comfortable in church because of people that were friendly and kind. Right? If you serve in this house, you are part of that testimony. So I wanted to encourage you. This is why we call it a Gratitude Sunday. And we are going to celebrate just a few. Amen? Amen. As I continue, I feel like God's just put a couple things in my heart before they come up. Grace, gratitude is so important. And I believe that God is calling us to be a house, a corporate house together, that we stand in a position of gratitude in all things. Gratitude, when you walk in gratitude, this is part of the walk of faith. Walking by faith is gratitude, is having to have a thankful heart. A thankful heart that God's got you. Having a grateful heart that God has your back, that he's with you. It's knowing in the unknown, right? Walking by faith, there's so much unknown. But we could be grateful that we have a good and faithful God sitting on the throne. Faithful, victorious, like we're singing this morning, right? God is sitting on the throne. He is victorious. And in all things, in 1 Thessalonians, I can't say that properly. There is a, you know, is it a French thing or 1 Thessalonian? Is that right? I'm looking at my mother-in-law because she's really good with that. 5. It says, rejoice always. Pray continuously. And give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances in God. That is the will. It says that is the will of God for you in Christ. The will of God in you is in all circumstances. You could say, thank you, God. You could rejoice. You could be thankful. Even if it's messy. Even if it's ugly. Even if you're like, God, there is no way this is happening right now. You could be thankful and you can rejoice because God is sitting on the throne. He is sitting on a throne. As long as you keep him there, you're safe. Because God is a victorious God. He's a redeeming God. He's got your best interest at hand. He could take care of the situation. Doesn't matter how big or messy it is. He's going to take care. But when we complain, when we grumble, when we complain, when we're not thankful, we are doing this. We are taking God off the throne and putting ourselves on the throne. And we're saying, God, no, I know best. I'm going to take control from here. And we start taking control. We worry. We fear. We manipulate. We try and make things happen. We have taken God off the throne and put ourselves on the throne. So dangerous, guys. We don't want to be a body of Christ that lives that way. And it's more common. It's natural. We're all victim of it. Amen? We all do it. But as long as we keep that position, God is in the throne. He will work everything out for good. Sean was gone. This week, as you know, he was gone for 2 weeks. We had one day that I was like, I think I'm actually getting hit with warfare now. I was like, this is actually happening. It was so obvious. It was in a short period of time. One of my child got sick. And you know, there was tons of mess to clean up just with that scenario alone. I mean, a fire started in my oven. Parchment paper went into flames in my oven. One of my other kid, won't name anybody, thought it was safe to put a hot iron on the carpet. I mean, if you could put it on the board. Or material we could put on the carpet. there was thing after thing. The computer was shut down. I had prepared something and my crock pot lid wasn't broken. The toilet got plugged. If you know me, toilets that are plugged is, oh my gosh. And it was so, everything was happening. I know there was other things and everything was just happening in such a condensed way. I was in my face. I was like, okay, I know this is happening. It's okay. This is messy. I could freak out. I could be like, oh, God. Like, you see, I need Sean. No. I was like, okay, we need to do something. And I was about, before I got that revelation, and the toilet got plugged. Sorry, guys, I'm being, like, super. But if you, again, if you know me, I hate that, okay? Yes, I must confess, I don't always utter the right words. When there's a blocked toilet in the house, okay? And I was about to go in that mode of rage. And I felt like God reminded me of gratitude. Gratitude. And I was like, okay. So I get out of the bathroom. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, God. I'm starting to rejoice. in all things. Thank you, God. Thank you we have bodies in this house that's healthy. Thank you we at least have a toilet. Thank you we have a toilet. And I'm going off being positive and being thankful. And my kids were like, oh, gosh. Like, because they're like, I think my mom's being sarcastic right now before she's about to freak out. And they're literally like this. They stop everything they're doing. They're like. And they couldn't understand it. But I was very genuine. And after I was done, what did we all collectively hear? The toilet gets unplugged by itself. By itself! By itself. And I'm like, okay, God, this is a sign. Let's drop everything. Kids, we're putting a worship song on, and we're going to sing, and we're going to declare. And everything shifted after that. Computers started working. The lid on the crock box started working. Everything started working. I was like, amen. Now, I don't always react that way. First, like you saw. Another thing, you guys all know the amazing miracle that took place in this house with Sean's tumor that was on his head and how he got healed. Well, before we got the news, that year, Harley, he didn't mention that. Harley got a word January 1st, right at midnight. You gave us that word. We just celebrated Happy New Year. And she comes to me and she's like, you know what, Michelle? She's like super excited. Like she's going to deliver some good news. And she's like, God said, this is a year we're going to see tumors and cancers healed. First thing I should have done is be thankful and grateful and start to party, right? But I didn't. And the mom was like, oh. It's like, oh, I don't like that. I hope it's not one of us. Why? Why is God saying that? I was like, why is God saying that? No, this is not a good word. Somebody's going to get sick. This is not a good word. And it wasn't too long after, I was like, okay, God, if you've given the word, that's our promise. That's my promise. That's my position. You're God. You know if anything goes out and we hear about cancers and tumors, and we did that year, you're going to heal. And he did. Amen? And he did. I'm just so thankful. So today, we are just celebrating these kind of testimonies that is going out because I know that celebrating is key. When you're grateful, you celebrate. When you know if you're somebody who's thankful or not, you start to celebrate. You celebrate for others. I remember asking God, I was driving, and I'm like, I feel blessed in my life. And I was like, God, like, you've done so much good in my life. Like, I feel, like, very thankful and blessed. I feel like I didn't, like, hustle and bustle for these. I mean, I know we did, but there was such a grace in the hustle and bustle, and I feel like you're so good to us. And I'm like, what is it, God? I feel blessed in my life. What did I do? Is there anything? Like, I'd like to know if there's a key. You know, you want to pass that down to your kids. And God showed to me is that you're good at celebrating for others. You know, envy and jealousy repulses blessing. And it stinks, just so you know. It repulses blessing and does not attract blessing. And that's one of the things that I always kind of have done is that I've always celebrated quite generally. I was genuine about it for other people. When people have upgrades in their life and they're successful, I get so excited in my spirit. I get very excited. And I know, and if it's something that I'm like also believing for, that I'm like, I want as well, I get excited. I generally get excited like a kid inside. I'm like, ooh! Because if it happened to them, it could happen to me. Amen? And if it's not for me, it's okay. I'm confident enough to be like, it's okay, I don't need it, right? I see the Ferrari. I'm the person, when I see somebody in the Ferrari beside me, I'll go, good for you. You know, but sometimes I've heard so many people say, like, oh, they're showing off. I'm like, no, good for them. How pretty cool. They get to pick whatever car their heart desires, right? So let's celebrate this morning. When you hear about the testimony, receive it, celebrate it, get excited for yours. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So we're going to have Onyeka come upstairs. So how about you share with us? Give her a hand, guys. How about you share with us what God's been doing in your life?
Yeah. Hey, good morning, everyone. Just give Cliff Note version real quick. So when I was going on mat leave, and I've shared this a little bit with the church, I knew that God was telling me, oh, don't go back to your job. But I'm like, I'll go on mat leave. I have like a whole at least 12 months to figure out if that's what we're going to do. You know, if it was me, then he'll tell me it was me. Anyway, so I'm like 2 weeks to my son being born, and my husband walks in the room. And, like, you know, like, the look that your husband has when it's, like, he doesn't want to alarm you, but, like, something has happened. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, this energy, I don't like it. And he sits on the bed, and he's like, so I just got some news. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? He was like, yeah, I just got laid off. And I'm like, sorry, what? This boy's about to be here in 2 weeks. I'm on mat leave. And then there's the voice of God saying, you're not going back to your job. So I'm like, no, surely this can't even be. So anyways, the baby comes, you know, everyone is happy. But obviously, in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay. So, I mean, God is faithful. So, like, in the next 2 weeks, he'll land something. Like, he's God, you know. Yeah. So 2 weeks become, like, 1 month. And 1 month becomes 2 months. And 2 months become 3 months. And 3 months become 4 months. And 4 months become 5 months. And I'm like, okay. Like, now he's eating solids. So let's figure that out. Like, God, what is happening? But just going back to this thing about gratitude, there's one thing that I will always honor my husband for is he rejoices in small things. And it pisses me off. I just want to be really honest, right? Like, he'll be like, oh, my God, a recruiter reached out to me today. And I'm like, good for you. But not with joy. I'm just like, great. I'm like, this is not leading to, like, what I want to hear is, behold, there is now a job. And so he'll be like, okay, there was an interview. Good for you. Okay. And he's like, listen, he's not like a small celebratory person. Like, my husband is extra. Like, the praise music is in the background, and he's like, God, you're just so... And you're just like, bro, it's not a job, okay? The baby is now 10 months. He's actually, like, chewing on the bone, so, like, he's maturing. Anyways, fast forward to, like, a month before I was supposed to start work. And my husband here got two offers. And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, just like that? And he was like, yeah, now I don't know which one to pick. And I'm like, wait, God. Like, no, you met us. It took 10 months. The baby's chewing on bone round, but you met us. And it just had me thinking about this house and how the community that you create in seasons of joy will hold you in times of chaos. And this house held us, not just like financially in the way that I was like, okay, God, like I have to buy formula. That was the other thing. My son was like, girl, your milk is too little. I need more. And I'm like, God, this is a season we need to buy formula. What's happening? But this house held us up in the most important way, which was prayer. Like someone literally texting me in the moment where I want to have a meltdown and being like, girl, I am praying for you. And they might not even know what's going on. Most people didn't know. I mean, we're up here singing, worshiping, because God is good anyway. But I'm just thankful for this house, for how in the midst of all the chaos and the craziness, God showed up and he gave us choice. So thank God.
Yeah, God. Okay, praise God. If you're believing for an upgrade in your life, take that in. Receive it. It's yours as well. It's going to come. It's just a matter of time. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Now we're going to have Bree come up. Bree, come on up. Give her a hand, guys. I know it's a big step for a lot of people to come up and share. How are you? How are you feeling?
I suddenly understand why Pastor Sean pees before he comes up here.
Okay, here. I'm gonna give you this.
Okay, good morning. I wrote stuff down because Anyeka is just up here and being all fabulous. And I'm like, no, I need my notes. Is that one? Thank you. Okay, so I have a lot of fear about sharing this morning because, not because of this house at all, not because of the content, but because what I am going to share, what I believe God has put on my heart to share. I initially watered it down when I sent it to Pastor Michelle. In my honesty, there can be retribution for sharing, but God reminded me time.
Come on.
Time and time again this week, that if he brings you to it, if he calls you to do it, he's got the rest. So I can share knowing that if there is retribution, I am covered from head to toe, front to back. I'm in my Jesus bubble. And he'll take care of the rest. That's not on me. That's not on my husband. That's not on my family. I'm good. And so I'm going to walk forward in faith. even when it's scary. Scary sucks, though. So I was raised in a Christian house, in a Christian family, but I was abused as a child, not really physically, but mentally. And hi, Mom. And emotionally. And I remember feeling unworthy. I was not good enough. I was not important. I was not valued. It was a lot easier for me to be invisible than it was to be noticed. And no one wanted to notice that kid anyways. I'm not saying that's fact because it's not. Or that that's true, I should say, because it's not. But that was just my life. I felt like a burden. I don't remember laughing. I don't have a lot of happy memories. I tried to count them, and I couldn't think of one, really. So I was just, I was garbage. Why was I even here? I didn't need to be, like, especially growing up in a Christian house, you know, like, oh, okay, God's put you here for a reason. I'm like, you want to fill me in here? Because I think you oopsed. And so that's really where the devil got to start planting little seeds of, you know what, that's right. God doesn't have a purpose for you. He doesn't have a call for you. Who are you? Who are you? So when I scrolled too far. When I was 12, I made my first plan to end my life. And what stopped me wasn't a fear of death or a Jesus moment. And I wish it was. But it was the realization that my mom would be the one who found me, and my mom would be the one who would clean up whatever I left behind. For the record, she's the most amazing person in this world. Yes, she is. That is right. I started high school, and I sought validation and my self-worth and my confidence in guys and my relationships. My grade 9 year, I was sexually assaulted. And through all of this, I was attending church services. You know the churches that do this? Oh, we're fine. Everything's great. Look at my shoes. For the record, y'all have amazing shoes. That's not the point. But it's just, it's really fake. And it's plastic. And I was just like, okay, we can do that. Like, oh, yay, we're good. We're fine. Obviously, I wasn't. And this continued all the way through the 11th grade, trying to fake it, but my pursuit of guys, even though I was involved in church, never stopped. Around 15, I was put on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, and mid-grade 11, I stopped attending church at all. My parents had split up. My church friends were increasingly treating me differently, as if I was dirty and below them. When I expressed this to them, they mocked me. The church youth pastor changed, and the new one removed me from my role as a junior youth leader without ever saying anything to me. I just found out through my friends that, oh, we don't want you. He doesn't want you here. And then I heard him mocking my mom in front of a room full of children, and I snapped. I left a note on his desk instructing him on how you're supposed to treat people, and I walked out of the church, and I never looked back. I got into drugs and alcohol, and in April of 2011, I was raped by my dealer, who was also an ex-boyfriend, and that added PTSD, flashbacks, dissociation, and mild agoraphobia to my depression and anxiety. It's a great little laundry list there. Devil has fun with those. I started university, and a month later, I met my husband. I was drunk. I was stumbling around. I should not have met him. And when I look back, he was God's first gift of, hey, babe, I'm still here. Wow. I'm still here. So my intentions for him were not pure at all. He's really cute, I'm just saying. But he had a feeling. He's a non-Christian. He had a feeling. I'm sorry, I know I'm going over. And he was like, so you know what? We're gonna slow things down. And by the time things picked back up to a normal secular speed, I was in love with him. And so he wasn't getting rid of me. Still can't, baby. I would apologize, but I'm really not sorry. In my third year of university, I sustained a traumatic brain injury and I had to drop out of school. So my now husband also dropped out because I was not OSEP anymore. And he took work almost snuffly, full time, to take care of both of us. We weren't engaged, we were just dating, but that's the kind of man he is. December 26th, he proposed, 2014, August 2015, we were married, April 2020, we had our daughter, my little baby. That's when postpartum depression hit me really, really hard, and everything in my life plummeted. Our marriage took, it fizzled, and that just magnified my, oh, you're worthless, you're not good at this, you're not good at anything, you can't be a good mom, you can't be a good wife, what are you, who are you, what are you good for? And what saved me was my promise that I made the first time I held my daughter. I said, I promise you, mommy will never make you say, your mommy killed herself. So between the summer of 2020, when we moved to Ottawa, and summer 2023, I had seen multiple mental health professionals. I had been to the ER multiple times for help preventing my suicide. And then y'all came in. So this is, I'm tying it back. I promise I'm tying it back. So September 30th, 2023, Casey had put on a marriage lab, mini marriage lab. Ooh. And that saved our marriage. The next day, it was a Saturday. Come on, people. You can clap better than that for the Lord. Get on it. The next Sunday, so that was a Saturday. The Sunday, we decided, oh, okay, we'll check it out. Let's go. And now you're stuck with us. We've been coming every Sunday that one of us isn't sick ever since. December 2023, we participated in Holiday Dream, and that's when we felt some of our roots click in and be like, oh, I like these people. They're weird. Like, ooh, I found my home. And then House of Hearts 2023, we stepped out in faith and we drained our bank account, like overdraft everything. And before, it was less than $6. I had a $5 bill in my pocket, and we had, I think it was 67 cents left in overdraft in our bank account. We just said, well, okay, here we go. Yeah. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart posture. Yeah. January 2024, we continued to trust God with our finances. May, this past May 24, we realized that we were going to lose our rental home because we couldn't afford it. June 1st, we entered a rent-to-own agreement that quartered our monthly rent. It removed our water bill. We're now on a well. Our monthly gas bill, and we will own our home at the end of it. No down payment. We have, like, a bank would have laughed at us, and God went, here you go. Here you go. It's also the home where Tim proposed to me on the front porch. It's the home I grew up with. It's our miracle house. June 2nd, 24. I was healed top to bottom, back to front, of my crippling depression and anxiety. Two disorders. Yeah. Two disorders I had been told with I'd not only live with all my life, but that I would suffer from. It was going to be a struggle, and you just need to get used to this. This is your life. And God went, no. And he took it. He took it all. I spent hours in my backyard with my daughter just playing and being present and being a mom, living out my calling as her mom. June 9th, Tim was water baptized. Mr., I'm never going to go to a church. I'm going to, oh, these people are weird. What do you mean speaking in tongues? September 22nd, I got, so this just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I got prayer for clarity in my life's direction and open eyes and ears to hear and see where God wanted me. September 29th, my brother was healed. He couldn't lift his arms over his head. The giant walking around. Oh, yeah, he wasn't going to church. He came. He was like, okay, God healed him. Okay, we're not special. We're not special. God didn't, well, we are, but it's not, there's not a bar. You come, you be broken, you be open, you be honest, and God says, I love you. As you are. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Stop putting a limit on what God wants to do for you. Stop stealing the pen of him writing your story. Okay, that is not how that works. He gave you a perfect manuscript. Stop redlining it. It's a bad idea. It's not going to go well. I can testify.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
No, I think you've shared so much. This is so good. Was there one other specific thing that you felt like you wanted to release? Because you're like on fire.
Sorry. Where to go?
It's true. She doesn't have to be sorry, right? God's call it to share. This is such a habit that sometimes we do, right? We say sorry for things that's like, no, don't need to be sorry. But how about this thing? You had no purpose, and then God spoke to you about this catering thing. I just want you to quickly touch on that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
and you've
mic.
Been a blessing to our house in making so much good food for us.
Thank you. I love making food for you guys. So God had called me to make food for people. Okay, I have a passion for that. I have a gift for that, and I had been called to make food, and I was going, no. It costs money. I don't have any money. I can't do that. So a friend of mine in this house sent me a text being like, you know what you're supposed to be doing. Stop cowering. Step out in faith. Go boldly, all caps. Go boldly into what God has called you to do. And I went, okay. So she made an order for, like, okay, if you do this, like, let me pay you for what I'm making. So she paid me, I bought my domain name, thank you. And I was like, okay, God, here we go. And then I got another order for catering a launch party. And then I got the KC team party. I'll be catering that. So step out.
This is an amazing testimony of reconciliation with your walk with God, numerous healing, and purpose. Renewed purpose, and most of all, your worth and knowing how valued and loved with God. I just love seeing, and you have been such an incredible blessing to our house, and we just love you so much. Thank you so much. Pardon?
Can I share one more thing?
So your giving matters. I'm here because of your giving, and you're stepping out in your faithfulness. Wow. My butt is in that chair because you guys paid for it, so I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for you.
That was awesome. Okay, Madison, we all know Madison, right? If you don't know Madison, it's because you're new in the church. But Madison used to host on stage all the time, but she had a baby.
I did.
Yes, you did. Okay, how about you tell us about that?
Well, there's so much to tell about having a baby, but I will stick with just what I've prepared. So in April this past year, Jeremiah and I had our beautiful baby girl. She's at the back. Jer's currently feeding her. Her name is Maya Rose. And this whole story is littered with so many testimonies and so many miracles dating back a couple of years ago. But I'm just going to tell you a little bit of what happened since she arrived. So Maya Rose arrived April 28th. And she arrived 6 weeks early, so it was quite a surprise. It was on the day of a baby shower, and she just didn't want to miss out on her own party. And I can't blame her. And so because she arrived 6 weeks early, she ended up spending quite a bit of time in the hospital. In total, it was 26 days, 17 of which Jeremiah and I had to be there 24/7. I'm going to cry for sure, but in that time, it was really difficult for us. Jer was doing the night shift, I was doing the day shift, and we would cross paths for 30 minutes, an hour a day, just as we were transitioning with the baby. And so many people, just first of all, first testimony here, so many people in this church rallied around us with Uber gift cards, Uber Eats, and food, brought food to our house. And in that season, that was something that we needed so badly. So thank you all, everyone who came around in that way, for that. When we were in the hospital, Maya Rose was diagnosed with hypoglycemia. So that means she has low blood sugar. Low blood sugar often with babies goes away within 4 days. And in more serious cases, it takes 10 days. Day 10 came and went and her blood sugar was not bouncing back. So at that point, they said, there's something wrong with your child. The only way that you're going to leave the hospital is if you put her on a drug regimen. And we didn't feel comfortable with that because it was two different types of drugs. And then we'd also have to monitor her heart and lungs to make sure that they weren't filling with water on a regular basis, and she was 10 days old, and not even, for those of you who have children, she wasn't even at gestation yet. She was still 5 weeks out, or 4 weeks out from that. So we did not have peace. And we took a step in faith, and we told the doctors that we were going to believe that our child would be naturally healed, and we weren't going to take this medication. And what proceeded to happen was every single day for the next, at the time it was 16 days, we were pressured constantly by the medical staff to take the medication. We had multiple doctors coming in, and there's no, you know, nothing wrong with taking medication or, you know, the medical, hospitals or anything like that. This was just what we believed was on our heart to do, and we had to be obedient to following the peace that surpasses all understanding at that time in our lives. And so every day we were pressured, and there was one point where her blood sugar dipped, and we were so close to giving in. It felt like the whole hospital Calvary came into our little room and all did a ton of stuff on our baby as she was screaming in my arms, and there was nothing that I could do to help her. And in that moment, we were so close to just, let's just give her these drugs and just have this nightmare be done and over with. But we had this little flicker of hope, and it was that on the following Wednesday, we were having some women over from our church to pray. And, yeah, sorry. And we just knew that, like, we were just really believing that God would break through in that time. And so we held off the staff again. We waited, and we just were trusting the Lord and believing that peace would lead us. And the Wednesday came around, and finally the specialist, we were being followed by an endocrinologist, came into our little tiny little room with, you know, it was, you know, little space. And she came and she asked me, she's like, why aren't you giving your daughter this medication? And I said, we just believe that she's going to be healed naturally. And I asked her, are we putting our daughter in harm's way? And she really thought about it. And then she said, no, actually, I don't think you are at this point. And I said, okay, then we will wait for tomorrow, and we'll wait for the next day, and we will just continue to wait and see what happens. So that night, we had a number of women from the house come and pray. And before we started, Harley over here, classic Harley, had a dream. The dream life of Harley that we all know about. Praise the Lord. And Harley had a dream, and she said that she saw a doctor come into our room who would see me holding the baby, and in that moment, she would decide that this baby was safe and that the baby would be discharged. And we prayed that night, and the next day, I went to the hospital, and out of the blue, Maya Rose was discharged from the hospital, and they sent her home with us.
Yeah, I'll just tell the last part quickly. Yeah.
And so she became an outpatient. And so at that time, we had a bunch of, we had nurses and a couple of other people who were coming and checking in on her. And in order for her to be cleared from, she was diagnosed with hypoglycemia, in order for her to be cleared from the hospital and considered on the hospital standpoint as healed, she had to go through this process of a 6-hour fasting challenge. So baby, she doesn't eat for 6 hours. So the doctor told me that in the night, if she sleeps for 6 hours, you take her blood sugar after, and if it's above a certain level, then she will have passed this challenge, and she will have been healed from hypoglycemia as the hospital considers it. And so days went by, weeks went by, and one night, you're a parent, bless the Lord, she slept 6 hours. And I was like, oh, praise Jesus. There's so many reasons why the Lord loves me. And so I took her blood sugar in that time, and It was above the required level for her to be cleared from the hospital. And I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me to count how many days it had been since she was born. And at that moment, it had been 77 days, which if you're a Christian, you know that 7 is the number of completion. And we just felt in that moment that our daughter, this story, this chapter in her life was complete, and that she was going to be healed in the name of Jesus. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes, guys, you receive that. If you need a healing in your life, you receive that for yourself this morning. Amen. Hi, Mark. This is Mark and his beautiful wife, Ade. She's right there on VIP, serving on team, which is really cool. So how about you share with us what God's been doing?
Well,
yeah, he's been doing a lot.
Isn't it? Yeah, I won't put him to sleep, I promise. Okay, how's everybody doing? Amazing, amazing. I just want to start off by thanking the house, KC, and the management team, the leadership team, the pastoral team. You guys have been such an incredible house to be part of. And truly the reason why my wife and I are here is we were at an amazing church and we loved it, but we didn't have a house. And KC was that house. And God repotted us here because he wanted us to grow. And even though KC is a little church, it has the ability to grow much. So God brought us here so that we set our roots because we were in a pot and now we're in a field. So that's KC. So thank you, all of you. So I want to start with a scripture, which God bless my wife. She's always encouraging me to read scripture. So I'm going to say Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And this is so important because our journey really has been living out Matthew 7:7 over the last year. This is how long we've been Christians. It's been 13 months now. So praise God. So we were securely rooted in the world. You know, the repotting. Well, we were rooted in the world. And the problem is our tree was dying because the world was failing us and there's no life in the world. There's only life through Jesus. So even though we thought we had everything, we were slowly dying. Life got a little crazy. And we started to notice a lot of darkness, and we were seeking light. So my wife and I, having Muslim backgrounds, sought out the God of Islam. The problem with the God of Islam is he's unreachable. No matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you pray, he's never there. So we were seeking, as Matthew 7:7 says. And that led us to a higher power, which is to find Jesus Christ. So we received an invitation. And I want to encourage every member of this congregation to invite people to the house of the Lord to have an encounter with the living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Because if that invitation wouldn't have been made by God bless his soul, Sam Krupe, we may not have been here. In our seeking, God answered. And an invitation was sent through one of his faithful servants, somebody who didn't know me, somebody who knew that his invitation was to somebody who would not have possibly appreciated it, but he was bold, and he was believing that God had a calling for us that included us in his house. So I would say to all of you, invite people into a relationship with Jesus and see what he does for them and for you. So, we had an encounter with the Holy Spirit when we were invited and we went to church. We wept for 2 hours as the prodigal sons, and truly for the first time in my life, I felt like I was where I needed to be. And the weeping was God weeping because his son had finally come home. 40 years I was away from him. And he waited 40 years. Praise God. So we have the invitation. We have the encounter. We meet the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I'm going over almost. I was trying to stay in line. But then another invitation came. Let us worship. Which, yeah, amen. Guys, this is for the house. You guys have to recognize. You guys facilitated this, and that event is what brought us here. My wife and I love music. We love to sing. You may not want to hear me sing. My wife, maybe. She's better than I am. So we love to sing. So we got an invitation for a Christian concert, and we're thinking, wow, this is amazing. So we show up. But here's the funny thing. When we were being led there, God had a plan. Because even though I had accepted God, I did not accept Jesus. And I was constantly churning and sitting in service and hearing Jesus this, Jesus that. And I was like, God, can we just do me and you, no Jesus? And I had a conviction. And by God's grace, he knew that I would accept him eventually. He knows my heart. So I sought him in prayer and I said, okay. I sat in on another service. Jesus this, Jesus that. And I said, okay, you know what, God? If Jesus is truly the Son of God and he is part of this situation, I will give my heart to him, to you, but I need help. Bring me somebody that's going to bring me into relationship with Jesus. Let us worship. I meet Sean and Michelle formally. We met before, by the way. We did our black belt exams at the same time, and I'm pretty sure I beat her at a nunchuck contest, just saying. I beat you anyways. No rematches, because she's been practicing and I haven't, so she probably beat me now. I'm refusing. We won't do it again.
Well, we're
going to
do it again.
We should. No, practice. So I meet Sean and Michelle. Well, we meet Sean and Michelle, and sure enough, they come and they pray over us. And we realize that there is a connection there. And Sean and Michelle, by their grace, being the unbelievable people of God, men of God, that they are, they were so gentle. Because we had Islam that had still kind of spilled over because we hadn't fully committed yet. Although we did, we didn't, right? We were in that transition period. So God brought us the gentleness of his spirit, his grace, and his love through them. And as we shared with them where we were at, they were like, oh my goodness. They didn't say that in their heads. They got this. And they prayed for us. So they prayed for us. And then when we met with them the night before, God gave me a dream. And in that dream, I'll save the details, but God was revealing to me the Abraham of the Bible and the Ibrahim of Islam, which, by the way, I'd never even heard of either. So I told Sean about a dream, and he goes, oh, by the way, I do dream analysis as part of my ministry. So my wife and I are like, what? So I told him, and it led him to saying, it seems to me that you're being called to make a decision. Do you accept Jesus, or do you accept Islam? And when he said that to me, I had a vision of Jesus on the cross, clear as day. And I immediately gave my heart to Jesus in that moment. Praise God. So to close it out, the entire process, they walked with us, even though we were in another church. They always encouraged us, and now God brought us here to serve. And we've never been more honored to be amongst such an amazing house, to break bread with you, to share communion with you, to go through tribulations together, to encourage each other, and to find an encounter with Jesus that doesn't just help us, but that brings people to this house and encourages them to have an encounter with our Lord and Savior that will move mountains. Praise God.
Amen. How awesome is that? And they have brought, they're like evangelists, those two. I don't know how many people they've brought in the house
and it's seeds are being sown. Even though people's life don't get transformed right away, it's seeds. Seeds are again sown, and then God will do his thing, right? And it's just so cool because I had seen them at the other dojo, and God had put me. Like he said, we trained under the same dojo, and God had put him in my heart. There's a few people here that I feel like God had put in my heart to pray for, and just to see how just through prayer, your intercession for somebody, your prayer for something, God hears, and he's so faithful. And when they're ready, it's awesome to see God just do his thing, and they're a result of that. There's another piece in here as well from my dojo who's here, and I'm just so excited that you guys are part of this journey with us. And before, I just want to, we're going to have people pass communion. We're going to do this a little fast because it's already a little late. But I hope you felt encouraged. Now, like Janice said, the ultimate thanks. What is the ultimate thanks? It's through communion. When Jesus broke bread with his disciple, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," right? We remember in gratitude and thanksgiving what he's done for us on the cross, why we are believers in the first place, why we live in his kingdom and operate out of his kingdom. Amen? So right now, we're just going to take communion, the bread representing his body that was broken on the cross for us. The juice, not the wine in this case, it'll be the juice that represents his blood that he has shed on the cross for us to be sanctified, to be reunited with the Lord. We have a guarantee where we're going. When we're talking with some people with they've shared with Muslims sometimes, they don't even know where they're going. We have the reassurance because of what Jesus did on the cross of our salvation. We know where our home is. Amen? And so before we take this, the Bible talks about not taking it in vain. Take a moment before you take this and examine your heart. Examine your heart before God. God, is there any sin or behaviors I've been operating through that I need to confess to you? Am I holding unforgiveness? You know, it's almost better. If you're not ready, I would say that if you're not ready to forgive somebody, it's better to pass on taking it. The Bible's very clear on that. We have to be able to forgive people. We were forgiven, right? We don't want to be in your, hypocrite taking the communion. This is real. It is the body and the blood of Christ that we are taking together. Like God, I know sometimes it's hard to forgive people, right? But when we forgive somebody, we're not saying what they did was okay and that we want, or that we accept or we think it was okay and that we want friendship with this person. When we forgive somebody, it's like there's a rope between me and that person. There's a soul tie, unhealthy soul tie. And when we forgive somebody, that forgiveness is like a big pair of scissors that comes and breaks that tie. We don't need to believe that what they did was right. We're not giving power to that person because that person does not have an association with us any longer because we've forgiven. We said, you know what? I'm moving forward. I'm letting go. And I'm moving forward. It's what we did when we accept Jesus in our life. We had a tie to this world. The sinful nature of this world. When we accepted Jesus in our life and accepted the forgiveness of what he has forgiven us, that is like the ultimate forgiveness. All the sin, he's forgiven us. It's like he's cut that tie that we have to the world and death. And we get to live free with him. So we're just going to take a moment. If you want to come and just lead us in a little song, I want to just take a moment and where we're just going to pause for a little bit, take a moment, examine our heart. And I want you to believe that when you take this bread, that something is manifesting in your body. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you that you have died so that we could live and live a life of abundance, of security in you, knowing that we're loved, we're comforted by you. Thank you, God, as we go ahead in our days to come, God, that we are thankful. We are thankful for you. We're thankful for you and what you've done for us in all circumstances, God. Holy Spirit, nudge us. Nudge us when we start to worry, when we start to fear, when we start to envy. Nudge us, Holy Spirit, so that we could rejoice always. Continue to pray and believe and give thanks in all circumstances. Amen? Amen. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. Again, we're so thankful and so grateful for each and every one of you, like you've heard in the testimonies. And this is only four people. I'm sure all of you guys could come up to us and share something that you have experienced because of this house. And that's you guys. It's not the building. It's everybody in this place. And so we're so thankful. We're so grateful for you. Amen. Have a good week, guys. And happy Thanksgiving.